listening to Patty Pigskin with Gary Somerville in association with DraftKings.
Hello and welcome to episode 62 of Patty Pigskin in association with DraftKings. I'm the host, Gary Somerville. This week's episode, we have a very interesting guest, and fuck me, he's been a busy man at the moment. He's not a pro football player, he's not a pro football coach, but I guess you can call him a pro traveler right now because he's all over America. That man is Jacob the Football Wanderer. And he's attempting something amazing. He's trying to break the world record for the quickest time to watch an NFL game at every stadium. And he's thrown in a few college games along the way. So can't wait to hear all about Jacob's story and his progress so far. I've had a really enjoyable time following along his exploits on his Instagram and Twitter, which he'll be sure to give a plug about later on. But yeah, really interested to find out how he's been getting on. And he's about at the halfway point here. So a really good episode of Patty Pigskin, episode 62. Say congratulations. Work so hard, forgot how to vacation. They ain't never had the dedication. People hate and say we changing, look, we made it. Yeah, we made it. Our episode 62 player dedication is one for all the Cork folks this week, and it is centre Jim Langer. He was part of one of the greatest offensive lines in history, the 70s Dolphins. He was born in Little Falls, Minnesota in 1948, and he started his football career at Royalton High School in Minnesota. He went on to play linebacker. He was the Mike at South Dakota State, and he had an honorable mention All-America in 1969. He was signed by the Browns as an undrafted free agent in 1970, but he was cut after training camp and joined the Dolphins. It wasn't until a change of position to center that he actually became a starter for the Dolphins, which was in 1972, which was a good year for Miami. He played in 128 consecutive games for the Dolphins, and this included, of course, two Super Bowl victories. Super Bowl VII, the perfect season, ending in a 40-7 win versus Washington. And the following year, Super Bowl VIII, a 24-7 win over his hometown Minnesota Vikings. In his 9 years with Miami, he was a six-time Pro Bowler. He got 3 first-team All-Pro nods and 3 second-team All-Pro nods. And to be closer to his home, he joined the Minnesota Vikings for his last 2 years as a pro football player. Stats-wise, he finished with 151 games played, 110 games started, and 2 fumble recoveries. Pretty good stats for an offensive lineman back in the day when it was fucking brutal on the body. And he was a part of the 1970s NFL All-Decade team, and he was enshrined into the Hall of Fame in 1987. So, episode 62, center Jim Langer. I have Jacob here, so let's bring him on for episode 62 of Patty Pigskin. Let me ask you something. Is there anything better than watching football? Of course there is. It's watching football with a DraftKings lineup on the line, especially this week. DraftKings leader in one-day fantasy football is giving new users a free shot at millions and millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit when you sign up with my code PADDY, P-A-D-D-Y. It's simple. Just draft your lineup, stay under the 50k salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. This week, I'm liking Matt Ryan, quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons. He is on the road at the Arizona Cardinals. They are giving up the most points fantasy-wise to quarterbacks, and he's pretty much throwing for over 300 yards, and he's getting about 2 to 3 touchdowns a game. So I really like Matt Ryan, quarterback for the Falcons, in a good spot against the Arizona Cardinals this week in a battle of the boards. So all new and existing users actually get a deposit bonus of up to $500 when you play regularly. So that's some extra cash to play with this football season, and nothing adds to the sweat of watching the game quite like having a shot at millions in prizes. So download the DraftKings app now and use code PADDY, P-A-D-D-Y, for a limited time. Like I said, you can get that deposit bonus up to 500. And don't forget to add my code PADDY, P-A-D-D-Y, to get a shot at all these cash prizes. So minimum $5 deposit required. See DraftKings.com for details.
Welcome to America, baby. Home of the brave. American dream, you know?
Yeah, dream. Every day grinding hard with my team, the American. in the rim because the rim was red alert. Y'all must was raised by some haters. You niggas go ahead and hate.
So we are live on Paddy Pigskin with Jacob, the football wanderer, who has just driven up from Gillette Stadium, actually, in the piss and rain. So Jacob, welcome to Paddy Pigskin.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
So you're very busy, man, because you've just come chat with another reporter, I believe. So who were you chatting with before I came up here?
So I was talking to an English reporter, actually,
right,
who now lives out here and owns a PR company.
Okay.
So he lives in Providence. So while I was at Gillette Stadium and we were talking before I came out here, and we said, oh, it'd be cool if we could meet up and get a little, a little story, a little chat.
Yeah.
We just sat and talked football for 2 hours, basically, before I even knew what had happened. 2 hours had gone. And
it can happen very easily, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I mean, this is the best thing to do, right?
Yeah,
So, it's gone very well.
Now, the downside is you were in Boston because you had to be at Patriot Stadium last night. So me, as a Giants fan, it was a rough night. My partner, she's a Pats fan, so she had all the bragging rights. So
went better than you probably thought, though.
Yeah,
right?
It was going well for the first half. Yeah, but then kind of the wheels came off fairly quickly. So how was your night? Before we get into why you're in the US on this trip, how was your night in Foxborough last night?
Yeah, it was good.
It was good.
Yeah, it's a strange place.
It is.
You know,
yeah,
you're in the middle of nowhere. You see nothing, and then bam, there's a stadium. There's a few hotels and some restaurants and stuff. So it's cool, yeah. It's a nice stadium.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a nice stadium. I met some people tailgating.
Yeah.
This guy's not missed a game in like 27 years or something like that. Like,
so he's been there for the bad times when they were absolutely terrible.
Yeah. The people out there, they live football. You know, whatever your thoughts on the Patriots, and maybe I'll keep them to myself.
Feel free. There's no bias here. You're always welcome to say what you feel. But I do agree with you. The people of Boston and the New England area, they just love their team.
That's one thing that came across. I was like, I'm as big a Patriot hater as the next guy.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it was hard to not sit there and be like, and get behind them because, you know, these people, they just live it and they breathe it, and they've been there, like you say, not just through the good times, through the bad times. So there's a respect to that.
Sure, yeah.
For sure. But it was a good place. The game was interesting, you know. Going after that first quarter, I was like, okay, maybe it's going to be tighter than we think, you know. But
in typical Giants fashion against the Pats, they kind of bring them down to their level.
That's the thing, yeah. The Patriots defense kind of kept them in it, really.
Yeah.
Kept them in it long enough, and there's probably the kind of team where the defense will keep them in it long enough for their offense to eventually
crack
through. And that's what happened. And then
if you see the time of possession, like I think at one side it was like 36 minutes to 16.
Yeah,
and like
I saw that.
The Giants' day is just going to, like, what defense is not going to wear out at that point?
Yeah.
Just getting grinded
down. And you've got no Saquon, no Gorman, no Ingram, no Shepard. I mean, you went into that game thinking,
what have we got here?
Yeah, you got Golden Tate.
And if they stop Golden Tate, you've nobody, because you're basically
and
like,
his touchdown was incredible.
Yeah, little juggling catch,
yeah.
Which the Patriots know all about, the little juggly catches against the Giants.
A few flashbacks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the mental scars will. That's where I always have Patriot fans. Yeah, my team is shit, but we'll always have those two moments, you know, and they get fairly quiet fairly quickly.
Yeah.
Right, as I explained to you before we came on air, we do a little beer review on Paddy Pigskin. So this week we're trying Conehead. Have you got into the whole pale ale craft brew situation since you've been over here?
It's funny, I was saying on a different podcast, back in England I'm a cider drinker.
Right.
So I have beer, I've never been one of those people that's like, oh, I love this type of beer,
that type of beer.
But since being over here, like, cider's not really a thing. I feel like it's become more of a thing recently.
Yeah, yeah.
But most places, you know, you can't get it, or you can get one beer.
Yeah.
And
I think they've just expanded, now that the whole craft scene is so big, they've kind of started expanding that into the whole cider things as well, you know. So Conehead, Indian Pale Ale, 5.7%, so not too crazy. Probably won't put you to sleep when you're going on your flight now over the flyover states in a couple of hours, but it says zero gravity. Not really idea what that means, but we'll crack these open anyway, and we'll enjoy these for the next half hour, 40 minutes or so, while we're talking football. Right, we spoke a little bit about your night last night, but I know you alluded to it in the intro, but what really has you here in the United States? Tell the listeners exactly what you've got going on, because this is unbelievable, this story. I really, really want people to get a good idea of what's going on here with the Football Wanderer.
So, I'm here for 3 months, and I'm trying to break a Guinness World Record. And the Guinness World Record I'm trying to break is the quickest time to go watch a game at every NFL stadium.
Okay.
So I started on opening night, Chicago, for the Bears-Packers, and then I finish on Thanksgiving in Atlanta for the Saints-Falcons.
Brilliant. Yeah. So what's the Now, I didn't even Google what the previous record is, because I had no idea. What record are you looking to break?
So the current record is 86 days, 10 hours, and 20-something minutes. I plan to do it in 84 days, 3 hours, and basically however long that last game
is. Yeah. So hopefully there's no like fucking rain delay.
I'm hoping they run the ball a lot and they get out of there, right?
Soak up the clock.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I'm hoping to beat it by basically just over 2 days.
Okay. And is it an American that has the record?
A girl who lives in Ohio.
They do love football in Ohio.
Yeah, so that was done in 2015.
Okay.
It was somebody who had it before then, but that person did it back when there was no Thursday night football. So I think they basically did it in a full season.
Yeah.
Thursday night football came in, and obviously it's way easier to then do it.
Yeah.
Essentially, how quickly you can do it depends on how often they're repeating the like prime time venues.
Yeah.
So for example, this Monday night's in Green Bay, I believe. And Thursday night a couple of weeks ago was in Green Bay.
Okay.
So that's a day where there's only one game where I could go back to Green Bay if I wanted to, but it doesn't make it any quicker.
Yeah, yeah.
So the more times they repeat the venues is the longer it'll take you.
Okay, I got
so
it.
So
if
they were all unique, I think you could do it in 74 days.
Okay.
And then once the schedule came out, it was like, right, how many times do they repeat? So the Jets repeat, Pittsburgh repeats, Green Bay repeats. There's a Monday game that's in Mexico, which I'm not going to. I was so tempted. I was looking at it and I thought, I don't think I can afford it as well.
Would you have needed any like visa or anything like that? Or you would have been just going as a tourist, I imagine.
I'm not too sure. I didn't get that far into it. I looked at it and I'm trying to remember where I am before and after. But it ended up being like, it would have cost a lot more not no game, because it would have been so cool to go.
Yeah.
But also I'm a bit wary, you know, last year the stadium got ruined and they didn't even have it.
Yeah.
So I was like, do you know what? It's probably not worth the risk of it. And you'd like to think that doesn't happen 2 years in a row. Surely they've learned, but it shouldn't have really happened 1 year. So
Mother Nature, look at the Rugby World Cup. There's a typhoon now and two games have been cancelled. You just never know what Mother Nature has cooking up. So how did the whole idea come about? Like, because, you know, English and Irish people, a lot of the time, their best inspiration comes over a few points down the local. You make this grand plan or suggestion, and then, for the most part, we don't really follow up. But you've obviously followed up quite a comprehensive plan. So how did it all come about? Like,
so it came to me maybe around this time last year.
Okay.
I'd always wanted to go and see certain stadiums, Arrowhead being one, so I'm really excited because that's where I'm going. You know, after we finish this, that's where I'm flying.
I hope
to.
You're flying direct, are you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Some of the layovers here are like in the middle of nowhere, you know?
Yeah, most of my flights are direct. I think there's only three that connect.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
So it's not been too bad. Lambeau's another one I've always wanted to go to. Just those types of stadiums.
Yeah.
And then they started building all the new ones. And I'm like, well, they look pretty cool. I want to go see them. So I was looking and it'd be cool if I could do like a little trip where I do four or five stadiums in one go, etc. And I thought, it'd be great if over the years I could then just kind of knock them all off. Maybe do four or five for the next 8 years or something like that. If I met somebody at a tailgate yesterday and they're doing one a year for the next 32 years. Which is,
Jesus. Are they including London in that or?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because that could kind of build on the little resume a little bit if they put in London, you know?
Yeah, so they're doing that. So I thought, I was doing some Googling and thought, right, people will have done them all before.
Yeah.
And I saw some people did it in one season. So there was two guys who they rented like one of those VW camper vans and they just drove around and did them all.
Nice.
And I was like, that would be really cool. And then I came across the article about the girl who broke the world record. I saw that and instantly was just like, that'd be cool. That'd be cool. So I was thinking about it and as is usually the case, you're kind of like, that'd be really cool, but you know, do you actually do it? And then I came out here in December, me and my buddy, he's a Broncos fan, I'm a Niners fan, so they play each other once every 4 years.
Yeah.
And we said, right, next time they play, we're gonna go to it. And it was a similar thing. We were like, oh, should we go, should we not? And then 2 weeks before the game, we were like, we're doing it.
Yeah.
We're just going to go and do it. And then being out here, I was like, it fueled it a little bit more, right?
Yeah.
So then I was like, oh, it really would be cool. And then it got to around March time, and the kind of swinging point for me was like thinking about sitting back in England watching the games, thinking, oh, I could have been
could
there
have been
if
there.
I had gone through with it. So I went, I'm going to do it.
Why not?
Yeah, exactly. So I just, I went for it. I saved up a bunch of money that was going to be to pay for a house. That was going to be like my down payment for a house. And
oh, well, yeah.
I thought,
you roll the dice.
Yeah, this would be more fun.
Yeah,
that sounds
yeah.
a lot more grown up. And
yeah, not ready to do all those adult stuff yet.
I'm not that adult yet.
Because that was kind of, that was what I was going to touch on next. I was like, you had obviously self-funded it, and you had no like sponsors.
No, I was looking for sponsors. Talked to a couple companies, but
should have asked DraftKings for you. They would have helped out. Just wearing our t-shirt everywhere. Like.
Yeah. So, but nothing really came through.
Okay.
Nothing really came through. So it got to a point where I was like, looking for sponsors was taking up a lot of time that I needed to be planning.
Sure.
Because in between work, you know, it was. There was a lot of time spent planning. You think like if you go on holiday somewhere and you might spend 3-4 hours, if not more, looking up the place where you want to stay. You want to be in a good area.
For one trip, like.
Yeah. So you imagine doing that, but for like 30 places, it really added up.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It got to a point where I was like, right, I've asked a load of places. Nothing's really come off. I'm going to just get on planning, go with it. And if something comes up, it might come up. It might come up halfway through.
Mm.
You know, once I've more people know about it, I've got content from games. People might see it and then go, "Oh yeah, when you come to this town, maybe do something."
Yeah,
and I might be able to recoup some, maybe not. But I got to a point where I was like, I think I can afford to do it anyway.
Mm.
It'd be great if I can kind of get some sponsorship, and I'd be more than happy to do that with somebody. But it got to the point where I was like, I just have to kind of commit to this and go with
just
it.
Just go with it, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's impressive. Like, they are pretty much doing it without any, like, because you're saying you're getting direct flights. So mm-hmm. some of these flights are, you know, like if you're flying from the East Coast to the West Coast, that's like flying to back home to England or back home to Ireland. That's like 6-7 hour flight. That's not cheap for those flights.
No, in fact, some of the internal flights, the domestic flights, were more expensive than my flight out here.
Yeah, I well believe it. Yeah,
you know, I flew into Boston from San Francisco.
Mm.
On Wednesday, but I tried to do that one a little bit cleverer, where my flight was at midnight from San Francisco.
Yeah.
So
you're saving a bit of money there.
So I didn't spend for a hotel room that night.
Because you're sleeping on the plane.
Because I slept on the plane.
Smart.
6 hour flight, time difference meant I got here at like 9 a.m.
Yeah.
Roughly. So, I mean, I was very tired yesterday.
I've done that before now, and I've gone straight into work after, and I'm like, I've flown from the West Coast a couple of times,
I'm tired.
Like, I'll get a few hours of sleep, and then I end up watching movies, and I go straight into work, and I'm looking like a zombie. So you must have been delighted with the 49ers' performance against the Browns. A lot of us picked the Browns. Like, I think we're kind of done buying into the hype now. They've been exposed
as a
dysfunctional team despite the talent.
I'm a Niners fan, so I was, and even I looked at that. We were talking in the parking lot to some other Niners fans that I know that I went with.
Yeah,
and I was saying, like, looking at the spread and what the price was, and I was like, is it me or are we two heavy favourites? So I was like, I don't think it's going to be this big of a blowout. I was like, I mean, it was like 4.5 points. So I was like, I think it's going to be a close game.
Yeah.
I can't see a situation. I was a bit worried going into
it,
thinking like, I don't know. I don't feel like we're that heavy favourites. And
Vegas, man, they know their stuff.
They know.
They really do. Like.
They know. So, it was just an incredible performance. We just started off really well, and it kind of set the tone.
Yeah.
You know, that first drive, they got that one first down on that kind of gadget play with Odell throwing it. But once they kind of, once we made them just play football, you know, our defence did really well.
Oh,
and then one play and Matt Breida's in the end zone. And then
we
got to pick a play later. It was like, the game got on top of them really quickly, and it's hard to come back from that.
Yeah.
It really is.
And credit to John Lynch, like, he's kind of turned, you know, they've invested so many first round picks in defensive linemen. Some of them have, they've been alright. Some of them have not really panned out. And then you get Baby Bosa comes into the fold, and he's not getting as many, like, his sack number doesn't really portray, like, myself and my buddy Jared that's on the podcast as well, we say there's no stat that shows how someone has fucked up a play on defense.
Yeah.
Like, he fucks up a lot of plays, but that's not translated into you know, getting a hurry on the QB or getting a sack. And he's just, his motor is just unbelievable. Yeah, well, he really has the bouts of motor.
Oh, for sure.
Like his dad, his brother, and his uncle. Yeah, all yeah, D-linemen. Sure.
And it was the issue we had, I think, when we were drafting the D-linemen before is we kept essentially just drafting a three technique every time. So we did it with Armstead, and like he was good, but then when we drafted Buckner, who was basically was better than that, we then would try to move Armstead into like a, you know, edge rusher type role, which he never really excelled at. That was never his thing. And then we drafted Solomon Thomas, who in college was just a dominant three tech, and then we were playing him, tried to play him as a pass rusher, which was I always saw him as like a good interior lineman who could pass rush, but never a pass rusher.
That was not his principal quality, yeah.
So we started using him a bit as like on the strong side, as more like of a run stopper. And now we've got Bosa again, and it's like, I think this has got to be the final year where we're drafting D-linemen.
Yeah.
But the D-line now is looking really good.
Yeah.
Buckner is just, he's incredible.
Yeah.
Bosa obviously had a great game on Monday.
And they're playing to their strengths now. Like, the interior guys are getting the pressure up the middle. So you got, you know, all of a sudden, the guards are having to look inside a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And then that leaves Bosa on the outside one-on-one, and he's
a
wrecking ball.
And then we bring in D-Ford. And now it's like...
it's all coming together, yeah.
Yeah. Now the line just looks complete. It really does. So
that's good to be able to see that in the flesh. Oh, all working out is great for you.
It was beautiful. It really was.
Which stadium... So I had a couple of questions here, because you're at about the halfway point. You're one game shy of halfway, right?
Yes. Yesterday was game 15.
Okay. So Arrowhead will be... You'll be officially at the halfway point.
Yeah, well...
So you've only seen... You may have been to some of the stadiums before this whole trip, but you've been to almost half.
Yes.
So, in your view, which has been the most enjoyable experience? And I mean that, like, the umbrella term. So, like, the fans, the facilities, the food, the drinks. Yeah, just you've gone to a game and you've been like, you know what, this is a fucking great day.
Okay.
Everything was great about it.
Yeah. So, my favourite day, and I have got one in mind.
Okay.
I thought of this before, actually. I think my best day was in Detroit.
Okay.
And that was, and it might have even been one that, because it surprised me.
That wasn't
the
tie game, was it?
No.
With the Cardinals?
No. It was the Chiefs game.
Oh, yeah.
Great game.
All the way down to the wire, yeah.
Yes. And that was just a place where, like, the people were great.
Mm.
The tailgate was so much fun, and I met loads of people. The stadium was so loud. It's one I wasn't expecting to be loud. I've heard things where it's not even, like, you know, people saying it's not that loud. That place was definitely
on a real farf, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't. Seattle was maybe louder, and New Orleans was probably about the same, but it was, you know,
the type of sound, because it's all enclosed, right?
Yeah.
Because CenturyLink's open, so it's like the acoustics in a dome.
Yeah.
It's always that little bit different.
Yeah, and Seattle was really loud, but there's not so much a tailgating scene up there. Same with New Orleans. It's not
which is surprising.
Yeah.
Given it's like one of the party capitals
in
the US, like.
Yeah. Whereas in Detroit, I had one of my more fun tailgates with one of the better games and one of the loudest stadiums. It just all came together.
It all came together,
I got back to my hotel, sat on my bed, and was like, fucking hell.
That was great.
That was great. Yeah, I'm going to remember that. And it's one where, like, you know, I've heard people say to me, oh, Detroit's not very nice. And I admit I didn't go, you know, exploring around downtown. I was there for a couple of days, but the day before I went to the Michigan game.
Yeah.
The college game, so...
I'm an Ohio State fan now, so be careful what you say about
Michigan. We'll just talk about Nick Bosa again.
Yeah, do you notice why I was talking a lot about the Bosas there?
Yeah, I get you now.
Because I did mention, you had sprinkled a couple of college games in, so
yes.
You've been to like two or three, or even more?
I've had four
now. Oh, really?
Yeah.
So
when I was in Dallas, I hit the SMU game.
Oh, yeah. Who were actually doing quite well this year, which is nice.
Yeah, they blew out North Texas.
Mm. I've always had a soft spot because Jeff Reinbold coached at SMU.
Yeah.
And he actually did a clinic in Ireland when I think he was actually still the coach of the wide receivers in SMU.
Yeah.
So I think Emmanuel Sanders may have been one of the guys he was coaching at.
I'm not sure if it was that far back.
Yeah, Cortland Sutton.
Yeah, he went there.
I think it was, I'm pretty sure Emmanuel Sanders went to SMU as well. There was another wide receiver that's, I can't remember, his name is beyond me now, but So he always had a soft spot for SMU because Jeff came, and as we all know, Jeff is a fucking amazing dude.
I love Jeff. So I played back in the UK.
Yeah.
And he came to our training sessions a couple of times. So I've met him a few times. He's a great game. In fact, I'm going to a Hamilton Tiger Cats game before I go to Buffalo.
Are you
going
to get to meet up with him?
Yeah. He's sold me tickets. Like, he's a great guy.
I need to get him on the podcast, actually. I know he's been on one or two of the Irish ones, so I'll definitely have to reach out. So that's good. You've got a bit of college stuff in as well.
Yeah, so I did SMU. I did Florida.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Did the swamp.
Yeah. Did Michigan. That was great fun. And did UCLA. So I've been to UCLA before.
Right.
The first time I went, it was like packed to the rafters. Great atmosphere. They were playing Stanford. I think they just lost. This time, the stadium was like half empty.
Because they're not that great at the moment.
It's been a rough start. Yeah. A real rough start. So it wasn't as like, you know, it wasn't very loud or whatever, but it was good fun. And I went with one of my friends who was over for the week to join me. So that was good fun. And I met up with some people out here that we knew. So
nice. We
had a fun time.
Yeah.
But the actual game itself, they lost.
Not that great.
Yeah. And it was like half empty. But it's a cool place to see the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's one of the iconic stadiums in the US, regardless of the sport. And did you find, like, I've been to my fair share of tailgates at college games and NFL. Did you find kind of a difference in vibe between some of the college tailgating? Or because I've gone to college games where, you know, a lot more students, and they're just absolutely buckles drunk. it's just messy, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas the NFL game seems to be like a little bit of an older crowd, as you'd expect, and things are a little bit calmer on the drinking front, I felt.
Yeah, it was a bit of it was slightly different. The only one I properly tailgated of the college games was Michigan.
Right.
But it was a lot of fun.
A lot of people at those games, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Like, 110th. I think that was their 290th consecutive game with over 100,000 people there.
It's unbelievable.
And people in the parking lot were telling me, well, they all tailgate on there's a golf course.
Okay.
Outside the stadium where they all go park and tailgate, which is pretty cool.
On the golf course?
On the golf course.
That's surprising.
I said, how do you not just ruin the golf course every day? Every week.
If I was a greenkeeper there, I'd be going fucking crazy at that.
They're getting their
money. Get off the greens.
They're getting their money for the
No, that's it. If they're using it for a parking lot at the weekend, they're probably making a shitload of money. So.
Yeah, well, that's true. But he said, one of the people there basically said, there's maybe twice as many people, you know, just as many people that come tailgate and don't even go in.
Like, they're just there for the parking and the session.
They've been there since 5 a.m. It was a noon kickoff. I turned up about 9, and they were like, "Where have you been?" It's like
it's getting late.
I've been sleeping
like a normal person.
Yeah.
And have you found that what's the tolerance level of alcohol for the Americans? So I always find like they can go downhill very quickly. I don't know. It's just being Irish. You're just used to the session where it's a marathon. You know, it's like 10, 12 points, and you're just there for the long haul. Whereas here, it's like the cliff, and then. Gone
their drinking is different as well.
It is.
So like you say, in England or in Ireland, you'll just have loads of pints. They love shots over here.
Yeah.
I've never been.
They chase everything with like a fireball. I'm sure you've seen all the little bottles all over the place.
I've been involved, unfortunately. And I've never been four shots too much. You know, I've never been a shot guy as much. But I've just had to embrace it. It's been a lot of fun.
When in Rome.
It's so different. Yeah, I turned up yesterday. First thing, do you want a shot?
It's
like, okay, what have you got? It's 7 different types of whiskeys.
Oh, jeez.
I was like,
I hope it wasn't proper 12, was it? Because that stuff is like piss in a bottle. I'm a man of fine taste when it comes to whiskey, and just proper 12, just absolutely terrible.
No.
I kind of find with the Irish and the English as well, is ultimately the end goal is, yeah, you're probably going to be hammered just as a result of having a lot of points. Where I find here, when they're going to games, is like their number one goal is just to get absolutely wasted. And how do we achieve that goal as quick as possible? Okay, point and shot.
It's efficient.
Yeah, that is the American way. I'll give them that. Living and working here, people are efficient with their time. And that gets incorporated to when they're drinking.
There you go. Yeah, you really when I was in Miami, you know, they ain't doing too well. So he was like, I don't want to be able to see this game.
I want to be blowing the drum.
Yeah, he was like, if I can see the scoreline at the end, I'm upset because I don't want to see that. I know it's not going to be pretty.
Well, it's a good thing you're not there this weekend. Well, the toilet bowl, I think they're calling it, or the tank bowl.
The tank bowl, I saw that.
Is it in FedEx or is it in Miami? I can't remember.
in Miami.
Okay. I was going to say, if anybody's going to know the schedule,
yeah,
it's you, because
well,
you've seen every fixture.
I was there when
it.
They played the Patriots.
Okay.
And that was...
that was a bit of a bloodbath as well. Yeah,
yeah. A little bit.
No,
yeah.
Miami Miracle Part 2, unfortunately.
No, I mean, I think Miami Miracle would have been just winning.
Yeah. Just
scoring.
Getting a touchdown, yeah.
Scoring, yeah. That would have been the Miami Miracle.
So you've mentioned your favourite experience so far was Detroit. Now I'm going to ask you the other end of the scale. I'm assuming they're going to say Gillette, but I'll let you answer. What has been your least favourite? Has anybody asked you this yet? Because everybody's going to focus on the positive. I want to hear, like,
no,
you know,
true.
Someone's going to say, well...
Someone's asked me which am I least looking forward to.
Okay.
Of which I did say Gillette, funnily enough.
No.
But it's hard because I've had so much fun.
You've had so much
everywhere.
Fun. That's,
you know, I,
yeah.
Every time I go somewhere, I'm like, oh, I'll come back here.
Yeah.
And it's getting to the point where I think next year I'm going to have to just do it again because I'm going back to everywhere.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Maybe it is last night.
Maybe now, in fairness, I don't know if the wet, like, it's in the middle of nowhere, like you said.
Yeah.
It's definitely expanded because Foxborough used to be literally the stadium and very little else. Now...
Yeah, someone was saying that. They were saying,
it's all
like,
about
everything
the
you can see is new.
New, yeah.
And I was like, okay, that's strange because even now I thought there's not a lot there.
Yeah.
So imagine what it was
what
like
it was
before.
Like before.
But
the missus, she works in real estate, so she's okay. Always telling me it's all about building the experience, you know? All this fucking bullshit. And it is, like, when you look at Foxborough, they are kind of building the experience around.
Yeah.
So it's like, you can go there for food.
Yeah.
You can go there to do shopping.
Yeah.
You can go there to get a rub down from Alex Guerrero if you want to go into TV12. You can do all these things as well as watching a game.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They have built around it. But
yeah.
Was it just the fact it was a Thursday night game? It was gloomy.
It was cold.
It's
the coldest I've been. Like,
okay.
So far, I've been, you know, Texas, Florida,
yeah.
California.
Now you're in the Northeast.
I've been really warm so far. You know, you go back 1 week and we're sat at the Chargers Stadium.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I need water.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was so hot.
Yeah.
So I wasn't used to it. I wasn't ready for the cold.
He wasn't
and
ready. Kevin Hart voice.
No.
It does get cold here, man.
Yeah, like, and it's been hard because I'm going to every climate, but I've not got a lot. I've just got carry on because I'm taking so many flights.
Holy
so
shit!
So if I check
was...
a bag, that's $30. 27 flights, that's going to add up. It's cheaper.
That's even
cheaper.
More impressive now that you're telling me that. That's unbelievable.
So,
fair play.
I've not really got clothes for all weather.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of went, right, I'm going mainly warm places first.
Yeah.
Let me do that, and then if I have to buy clothes, it's still cheaper than me checking a bag.
Yeah.
And I can, you know, so luckily I've been like, I gave some shorts back to people when they came to visit me to take back.
Yeah.
Like, I won't need five pairs of shorts now.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, it was really cold, and I was like, I stood there like, oh my God, I wish it would hurry up.
Yeah.
Especially once they fourth quarter, once they started to pull up. Well, it was a tight game. I was like, it was okay.
Yeah.
Fourth quarter when they got up by 20 points or whatever, I was like, okay,
I'm
just
ready.
End. And I
so just finish it.
Four games world records. I have to film the kickoff and the final play.
Oh
so
right, okay.
Everyone's piling out early. I've got to stay.
Oh.
I have to stay.
Yeah.
So. It gets to like 2:42 and the Giants call a timeout. I'm like,
stop. Just enough.
Up.
Yeah, you're not going to do it.
Then he challenges PI and I'm like, oh, it was PI, but that's not the point.
Yeah.
Even if you get the call, you're not going to win and I want to go home.
Yeah, you're just picturing that warm hotel bed.
Yeah, I'm like, I've had 3 hours sleep on a flight. I was like, come on.
I've been there now. My first winter here was 2015. Was a really bad winter. We got 110 inches of snow. And up until that point, that was in like January, February, but I did go to a game with my dad and we were in the nosebleeds. It was it was actually the Bills against the Pats.
Okay.
And it was about -20.
Oh,
and with the wind chill at the very top, I actually thought I was gonna die. It was so fucking cold. And like I clearly underestimated how cold it was gonna be. I was underdressed. And my dad is sitting there and he's kinda his hands are looking a little bit warm. I'm like, Jesus, those gloves are great. And he's like, Here, take one of these pairs. And it was like that scene in Dumb and Dumber, you know, where he's like, you had two pairs of gloves this whole time and I'm absolutely freezing. You had two pairs of gloves and I'm there, like, my hands are, like, frostbitten almost. I was fucking fuming with him.
Like AB's feet.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Just skin peeling off. They're, like, purple and black and everything. So I feel your pain. It does get quite cold.
I'm definitely going to buy a coat before I go to Buffalo in Canada.
You will definitely need it because the wind that comes off the lakes there will just cut through you.
Yeah.
So at least you know now and you're going to be more prepared.
I learned the hard way.
I've seen throughout you're documenting on Instagram, and I've just started following the Twitter page.
Yeah.
You've kind of had one or two pictures up of places you've been staying. So some of them have been in Airbnbs, yes. And I just, from my own experience, not looking into an Airbnb that well can cost you. Because last year, I went to Dallas for the draft, and shameless plug, but DraftKings actually got me tickets off the Cowboys, which was great. And I stayed, to keep the cost down, I stayed in Airbnb, and I booked this place in Dallas. And the place got great reviews, like the actual apartment I was staying in. I didn't really look at the area. And I got there, and I was like, all right, this is kind of rough. But, you know, I've been to rough areas before. And the Uber driver was like, when you drop me off, he was like, listen, see those train tracks there? Don't go past those train tracks. I'm like, all
right. It's not good. It's like, they know the area, right?
And I saw some shit that night, like the first night, and I was like, okay, this is like genuinely concerning. Yeah. So I didn't really look into the area. Did you have all these bases covered when you were booking places, or because you're mixing it between hotels and Airbnbs, right?
Yeah, so I tried to do as much research as possible.
Yeah.
And kind of the point of me, like you say, posting about the Airbnbs is that if they are good and they're in good areas and things like that, then someone hopefully one day will be going to a game there, and they can go, they don't have to worry. I've done that work already for them. Do you know what I mean? They can go, right, Jacob went. He said it was fine. It was a nice area.
Good to go.
You can walk to the stadium, and they kind of don't have to worry about it.
That's good, yeah. You were doing the donkey work for them.
Yeah, I'm kind of like
the guinea pig, yeah.
Yeah, there we go. So I need to post some more, actually, because I've stayed in quite a few, but I'm just trying to find the time. And
You're a busy man.
Well, when I'm sat in an airport, that's normally when I try and do it.
Yeah.
So,
so you'll be getting a few of them out now later on when you're in London.
You'll probably see some today. Yeah. And then next week, to be fair, when I go Denver, I'm not doing Monday night this week because it's in Green Bay.
Yeah.
So,
that gives you an extra day.
I get in Denver on Monday. The game's not until Thursday, so I can chill.
Nice.
Have a little bit of a little bit of downtime.
That's good.
But yeah, no, the Airbnbs, I've been really lucky so far. It can be hit and miss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've stayed in them years ago where, you know, there's been a couple times where I've stayed in one and I've turned up and gone, ah, and then
nah, I'm not
going
to
a hotel. And I thought, you know what? I don't, because that's an extra cost. You know, give their props to Airbnb. There's been times in the past where I've turned up at one and it's just nothing like it was supposed to be. Mm. And I've messaged them and I got my money back straight away.
Yeah,
very
quickly.
So they do very well out of that. So fair play to them with that. But yeah, I wanted to try and do as much research as possible. And, you know, where I can, obviously it depends on the city. Some of these cities, the stadium is not in an area you'd want to stay in.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's because they're in cheaper areas because that's where they can afford the land to build a stadium.
Yeah, sure,
it makes
sense. Yeah.
And certain stadiums you can stay near the stadium. Tampa is one, for example, where from our Airbnb you could see the stadium and it was less than 10 minutes walk.
Yeah.
And that's perfect, especially if you're not driving, where everyone's stuck in traffic and you can just walk back to your Airbnb. There's nothing worse than trying to get an Uber after a game.
Horrible,
I did it in FedEx Field in DC, and we just did it at the Chargers game, and we ended up
an LA traffic.
Rough, yeah.
So very rough.
It cost us $20 to get to the stadium, and then we looked after the game and it was 87. And I was like,
extra costs.
Yeah, so we just went, okay, we went and we just walked for a bit, found a subway, sat there for like 40 minutes just talking, and then it went down.
Yeah.
But it's one of those where I've learned it's better to sometimes spend a little bit more to be close.
Sure.
Because you might think, oh, this other place is cheaper, and then you spend double that
getting to and from
especially if you're not driving. If you're driving, it's a little bit different.
We're actually doing that in 2 weeks. I'm going to Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta for the Hawks. When are you going to be there?
That's my final game. Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll give you the heads up about getting around. We're staying right beside the stadium now. My buddy Brian Carter, who's he found an Airbnb. And he literally said, oh, it's close to the stadium. Gave me the address. It's fucking right beside the stadium. I'm like, you're going to pull the curtains and you're going to be able to see Arthur Blank just walking around in his office or something, you know? But yeah, similarly, like, we're not going to be driving. So, like, just cutting down the cost of going to and from is, especially for you, it's going to all add up. If you're doing that, like, every other stadium you're going to be at, you're talking hundreds and hundreds on the Uber fares where,
it really does,
like you said,
up.
$10 or $20 a night to stay in a closer place, it just makes so much more of a difference.
Exactly. And the ones close to the stadium, you meet people, you know. I was in Dallas and I was quite lucky. In the one I stayed at, it had a $15 return shuttle to the stadium.
That's pretty good.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's
it
what you
cost
want.
You, it cost $15 one way, and never mind getting back when it's four times the price.
Yeah.
And by doing that shuttle, I was talking to people in the shuttle, and we got chatting, and you know, now they follow my trip, and we took some pictures, and you know, especially doing what I'm doing, if I somewhere where I am on my own, it's just cool to meet people.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
The best part of this trip really has been just meeting random people and just talking football, talking about what I'm doing. I mean, that's basically what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We wouldn't be doing this if I wasn't doing this trip. So
yeah. It's amazing how, like, you know, you've obviously played football like me, and when you're knowledgeable about the game and you talk to Americans and they're like, holy fuck, this really is a global game. Yeah. Like now in England, it's probably more known that the game is popular in England. There's four games a year now.
Yes.
But on a lesser side, like for Ireland, you know, we don't have any pro games. We get a few college games.
The college one.
When they hear, Notre Dame. But when they hear Irish people talking about the game, they're like, holy shit. Like, not only does, you know, it sound like it's popular, they obviously know a good bit about the game.
Yeah,
so it's probably been an enjoyable part just chatting football, and they realise outside the US.
You see that moment when they realise you actually know,
you know it.
Football. Like, I had one person tell me, and he was like, when we first started talking, I just assumed you didn't really know that much because of your accent. And then it was like, oh, no, you actually do know. And that's nice, because it's nice to spread the fact that of UK football, you know, they go, oh, so, and then I talk about when I played, and they go, oh, we didn't even know, you know, and you could play in England.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We talk about that, and it's just quite cool that they learn about that as well.
Absolutely,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I've spoken to people who didn't even know there was London games.
Really?
Yeah, which I don't.
Okay, no, that's bad.
Yeah.
Like, because they fucking show it on Red Zone, and they show, like, if you're looking at everything on that Sunday, they're showing.
Especially a weekend like this. So last weekend, it was like a 1 p.m. Eastern game. So I can see how it get lost.
Yeah.
But this week, it's 2:30 p.m. UK time.
Oh, so it's the early one.
So
yeah,
it's like 9 a.m. here, right?
Yeah.
So if you turn on the TV and there's
that's
football,
what you're going to see.
Yeah.
Unless it's quite clearly not in America. Like, you should know that.
Maybe they think it's a replay or something. I don't know. Yeah, but
that was probably in Ohio that those people.
Well, I've also met a lot of people that go over. So when I was in Charlotte, North Carolina, there's a group of about 900, I think, of them.
Fuck.
All going over. All part of the same, like, so there's a tailgate group there called Roaring Riot.
Nice.
They're like it's like a members tailgate. You pay so much to be a member every week. And food and cheap drinks. And
brilliant.
Really, really cool. And they invited me along after I was on one of their podcasts. And they invited me along to go with it. I had a great time there. The people there were unbelievable. And they were running, that group was running trips, so you could just pay for the trip with them, and they sorted your flight. They're all staying in the same hotel. There's just one Panthers hotel. Yeah.
And that'd be some session.
Yeah, and they got tickets to the game, and then there's also a chapter of that group in the UK.
Right.
So that person that runs that one is going to show them around the UK, and then we're going to meet up.
Very good.
So yeah, it's crazy that, because we were having that conversation, and I could see Bank of America Stadium, and I'm like, but it's there. Like, the Panthers play there. What are you going all the way to London for? I kind of have to come here to see, you know, all these games. I was like, you can just go there.
Yeah.
But it's really cool that they... You know, I suppose if you wanted to go to London anyway, it's a great excuse, right? It's a good time to go.
Yeah.
And the same with Chicago. You know, there's a load of Bears fans that went last weekend, and they lost, but they also, you know, they had an absolutely great time. And it's a cool city.
I did. The Bears are just so well supported, because the first Super Bowl my dad actually watched on, I think it was the first Super Bowl on UK and Irish TV, and it was the 85 Bears against the Patriots. So I think the Bears just got a shitload of fans from England and Ireland based off that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I speak to a lot of people that got into it in the 80s, because that's when kind of Channel 4 started getting behind it.
NFL Blitz.
Yeah, so you end up with a lot of Bears fans in the UK, a lot of Niners fans. That was kind of their decade.
Yeah.
Cowboys, you get a lot of Cowboys fans because they kind of did the 90s. Mm. So you see a lot of those teams really well supported in the UK.
And then there are kids then. You know, when they have kids, they kind of grow up, they see the successful teams like,
so you get the
Patriots,
like,
and Giants and all those.
Yeah, so I was going to say, the kind of the younger generation, you get a lot of Patriots fans, a lot of Giants fans who watch those kind of those two Super Bowls.
Yeah.
You see like some Ravens fans, because they kind of got...
They were always in contention.
Either side of that decade as well. So, Yeah, it is. I mean, that's how you get into it.
Exactly.
Really, especially if you're from the UK, you've just got to pick a team. It's not, there's no local team. Mm. There's a lot of Jags fans, I suppose, because they're over.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of people's first game back when it was one or two games.
Yeah.
Was always a Jags game. And they've done a good job of building their brand.
They have,
in the UK.
With the academy and all that, yeah.
Oh, yeah, fair play.
And it's very enjoyable when Americans ask you, why do you support that team? Yeah. Like, I get that question like regularly.
So do I.
Especially as a Giants fan living in Boston. It's like, yeah. Why the fuck are you supporting the Giants? And it's always, you know, well, I have family in New York, my dad is a Jets fan. I said, fuck that, I'm not going to be a Jets fan. So, like, to them, it's
amazing.
They must
have a little bit of respect for that.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah.
That must be their favourite bit of that story.
Yeah, I get a bit of leeway there, because they're like, fuck the Jets. They're like, all right, we're all right with you.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they do give me a little bit of respect in that regard.
And it's the same when you talk to people over here, and they go, right, oh, we watched the Premier League, or the Premier League, as they call it.
Premier League, yeah.
they
make it sound so grand. I'm like, you actually been to a Premier League game?
Yeah.
Where there's lads punching the head off each other and then having a few pints and pies. Like.
Yeah, and then I'll say, who do you support? And you get a lot of Man United, a lot of Man City.
Yeah, the successful, like,
Liverpool,
well-marketed
yeah.
teams.
I've had some
yeah.
people say Manchester. Just Manchester. And like maybe
so
back,
City of Manchester
yeah.
FC. Or
yeah, well, I was like, back in the day, you'd just go, that's just United. Nowadays, who knows?
Could be anybody.
Who knows?
Yeah. Do you want to give a quick few plugs about your social media?
Yeah,
so people,
yeah,
I put something up on the Instagram and the Twitter earlier on, but a lot of people should follow your progress because it's a fucking amazing story and it's an amazing project you've got going on. So as much followers as you can garner from being on this podcast is fine to me. So do you want to give a quick shout out to your pages there?
Yeah, so the Twitter and Instagram are both the same handle, and that's JBB Football.
Okay.
So yeah, follow there. If you're going to be at any games I'm going to be at, I'd absolutely love to meet you, have a beer,
yeah.
and take some pictures. Like I said, I was talking to somebody earlier saying the growing the following is almost just it helps me find people. You know, I was on a Bears podcast and then I had somebody message me who was a Bears fan. He said, I'm going to be in DC for the Bears.
Oh, brilliant.
Redskins game. And we met up and that was really cool. And but also, so... For Guinness World Records, I need to get a form signed by every team.
Okay.
By somebody who works for the team, saying I was there,
basically.
Right.
Yeah,
and
Guinness
could contact them and say, you know, when was Jacob there, etc. So there's people from the NFL office who are kind of helping me with that. But
right.
For example, I was in like a bit of a panic yesterday because I didn't have anybody for the Patriots.
Okay.
So I just posted on Twitter being like, if anybody knows anybody, it'd be really, really helpful.
And 6 degrees of separation and all that, you just
yeah,
never know.
Yeah, exactly. So I said, even if you just retweet it, and then at some point, somebody in the Patriots might see it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I was blown away. Like, so many people were just like, they retweet it, they would tag. You know, at one point, people, I think every beat reporter, even remotely related to the Patriots, was being tagged in this
thing. Yeah.
And, but, you know, from that meant... You know, somebody knew somebody who knew somebody who got it sorted.
Who worked at Orchids of Asia, and all of a sudden you're getting... you got sorted anyway in the end.
Yeah, so it got Brilliant. Got sorted. So huge shout out to Mark Robbins who did sort it for me.
Okay.
Because sometimes that can be difficult. You know, sometimes you can just go to guest services. That's what the team will tell you to do. Sometimes they get it done, but sometimes the guest services are like a third party company, so they don't actually work. For the team.
Yeah, so you got to get creative then.
Yeah, so then it's trying to get somebody who actually does. So that was like the thing with the Twitter following is also that like if people weren't following it, then when I posted that, I might not have found that person.
Okay.
So the more people, you know, that kind of follow, then it just means if I'm stuck again, like it's just crazy how well I can kind of
you
get
can
sorted
get connected,
from people. And
well, I'll be tagging the shit out of all your
Thank
accounts
you very
when
much.
I, so whatever.
No, I appreciate that.
You know, some of the DraftKings guys follow the account, so they know that they have contacts with some of the teams.
And
so
now I've kind of met
whatever way I can help.
Yeah, that's the thing. I've met people now through a result of Twitter who I've met up with, and then like if I go back to that city, I'm going to meet them. But similarly, if they come to England, they now know they can come, they can
You've
give me
them.
A shout, and I can take them out in London or whatever. So it's just a great way. I mean, that's kind of how
networking.
We're doing this right now, right? Is you know, we were talking on Instagram about the podcast and
slid through the DMs as we all do from time to time. Well,
exactly.
We'll be having another point now because we're going to be in MetLife for the Jets and Pats, so we'll have to have another point.
Yes, 100%.
So speaking of points, we're going to give this final review before I let you.
It's very nice.
You've got a flight to... it is actually quite nice.
Yeah.
You've got a flight now to catch the Kansas.
Yeah.
So I'm going to let you get on your way. But Conehead Indian Pale Ale.
Very nice.
From... Who's the actual brewer here?
It's from Vermont, and there's a lot of good breweries in Vermont. Oh, Zero Gravity Craft Brewery in Burlington.
Yeah.
Burlington, Vermont's a lovely little town. Out of 10 is what we normally review it as, so you don't have to give a reason why, but, you know, if you like
eight.
A particular... Eight?
I'm going
okay,
to
yeah, yeah.
I really like it.
Yeah.
As somebody who, like, I've got more into beer as I've been here, as I was saying earlier, like, I wasn't really into it before, and as I've been here and drank more of them, I've got into it, but...
So you've got a bit of a nose now for the hobby.
Yeah, a little bit. But no, it's really nice. It's very smooth,
yeah,
which I quite like. And it's kind of got like a tiny little like citrusy...
Yeah, it does, yeah.
A little bit, citrus in it there.
Which
probably, as a cider drinker, is probably why I like it.
Fair enough, yeah. I was going to give it an 8, but you beat me to the punch. I'll give it, because I'm a bit of an IPA snob from time to time, I'll give it a 7.8. So it's an average of a 7.9. So I'll try and put their Twitter handle in episode. Right, Jacob, thanks very much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely great to hear about this story. So hopefully a lot of people listen to this podcast and start following you on the different social media handles. You have a flight to catch now to Kansas
for the Chiefs Texans game on Sunday,
which looks like it's going to be an absolute barn burner.
I'm looking forward to that.
Young quarterbacks just slinging it out.
Yeah.
Looks like a great one.
Oh, I'm really hoping for a shootout. You know, the Chiefs' defense has not been great, and hopefully Mahomes is fully fit. I was a bit worried.
His ankle injury.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, oh no, because I'm seeing back to back Chiefs games. So I'm Chiefs Texans this weekend, and then when I'm in Denver, it's Broncos Chiefs.
Okay.
So I was like,
if he's injured for both of them,
if they come out and say Mahomes will miss 2 weeks with an ankle injury,
the trip is off, fuming. Well, hopefully you get a bit of luck at the Irish now while you're here, and Mahomes is going to be in good shape.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks very much for coming on. Really appreciate your time.
Anytime.
Thanks, buddy. And that will do it for episode 62 of Paddy Pigskin. I hope you guys enjoyed it, because we certainly had a blast recording it. Probably one of my most favorite episodes of the podcast today. Keep an eye, as always, on our social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We're always putting up some funny shit there, but, you know, all the podcast episodes go up there with the links. So we're on Podomatic, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts, that's where you can find us. If you're in a generous mood and you want to review us, tell us how we're getting on. Greatly appreciate any feedback we get, as it just makes us improve the podcast and makes it as good as it can be. So, signing off for this week's episode of Paddy Pigskin. Tune in next time, where, as always, we will have less slant and more slantcha. Take care. And cut up the cake, then I put it on plate. I'm running the game, you running in place. Still a youngin' at heart, but mentally, bitch, I'm 108. Like pun in the late 90s, my niggas is juggling weight. Running for state to state, gunning the race for safety. I'm on a paper chase, whatever it takes to make me a millionaire. Silly, cause how many really get there? I mean, how many niggas is cheesy? Y'all made this just sound so easy, breezy. Turn on the TV, see these niggas to trap on the CD. Meanwhile, back home, my niggas still cracking the BP. Hoping one day they could BD. Niggas is there on the screen, cause that's the American dream. Now here go the thing, listen. Hysterical screams coming from mothers that bury their kings. Or the unbearable pain of watching them walk out with the sheriff in chains. Becoming a number, they no longer care about the name. White folks been getting rich off of cocaine through some underhanded methods I don't got time to explain. Out of fear that I won't reach them, and since preaching ain't my thing, I just drop a gem or two within a few verses I sang for all my real niggas trapped inside the game. You know the L. When I pick a bag of money, when I see my jewelry. Dream. Yeah.
These streets made for balling. Ten toes ain't for falling. I hear the world calling. Tell me if you're all in.
Tell me if you're all in.
I gotta eat. I gotta make money with money. I gotta feast. I gotta rely on what is known to the traveling man. Set his own. Got my Bible and my rifle in my hand. Oh, yeah.
I gotta eat. I gotta make money with money. I gotta feast. I gotta rely on what is known to the traveling man. Set his own, got my Bible and my rifle in my hand. Oh yeah.